So, okay, no pictures today. You just have to do with me, okay? No distraction on the board. We're going to talk today about partnerships. And it's interesting, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about how the believers were committed to fellowship. Now, they were devoted to fellowship, spending time together. Now, the words for partnership and the words for fellowship in the New Testament is actually in Greek the same word as koinonia, which just means we're doing things. What was it?
Together.
We're doing things
together.
That's it. We're doing things together. But where we're looking at the fellowship, it is like within the local church. But if we look at partnership, it's very much between local churches. So that's what we want to unpack a little bit today. And what we see in the early church, there was a partnership between local churches. Where there was a movement from people from one church to another church in order to strengthen churches, to build churches up. Because when somebody comes from outside, they bring gifts to us that we don't have. So the Lord brings them, so the Geel family, the Lord has brought them to impart something in us that Sue and I haven't got as leaders. I trust that. They're going to add something to us as a fellowship, as a church family. But I also trust that we as a church family will impart something in them.
Amen.
Because it's a give and take. It's not a one-way street. So we're going to talk about partnerships. And I looked at a biblical definition of partnership. And it says in the Bible, partnership is a deeply spiritual and practical concept. So it is deeper. It's not just a practical thing, but there's also a spiritual element. So it's interesting. Somebody shared with Sue and me about a different kind of partnership, marriage. Marriage is a partnership between two partners. Okay? Somebody says partnership is like two partners in a ship. So they're stuck together. They can't get off, because if you get off, you drown. Okay? So you're stuck together, partners in a ship. But this person shared this. He says, the more I submit to my husband, he said, I don't like submission. I struggle with it. But I notice the more I submit to my husband, something changes in the spiritual world. He said, I can't understand it. I can't explain it. I said, but I just know deep down that something changes in the spiritual world. And that's, so it's a deeply spiritual and practical concept. So it emphasizes believers are designed to work
together.
Got it. Combining strength and resources. Because we don't, on our own, we're very limited, but together. We're going to talk about it a little bit more later on. So combining the strength and resources in order to support one another, in order to fulfill God's purposes, in order to advance the gospel. Because we're not called to be on our own.
Yeah.
We're called to be together and to do things together. And it is, when Jesus sent out the disciples, he sent them out two by two. He didn't send them out one by one. He sent them out two by two. And they did things together. So, another aspect of partnership is that we build one another up.
Yeah.
If there is a partnership that breaks down, you realize something is wrong. This is not a healthy partnership. A healthy partnership builds others up. It's interesting. It's one element. The Bible says encourage one another daily.
Mm-hmm.
One another. You do it together. You encourage one another. What is the opposite of encouragement? It's breaking down.
Mm-hmm.
What is the thing that breaks down partnerships? That breaks down family? It's gossip.
Mm-hmm.
Because gossip elevates self but breaks down others. But words of encouragement build up others. And I'm really looking forward to hearing what the Lord is going to impart in us as a fellowship without Sue and me being here. Now, this is also a trust issue, hey? We've only known the Geel family 2 days. You know, it's exciting.
But our leaders know us.
But our leaders, and so we they got the endorsement of their church leaders. They got the endorsements of the leadership that we are also submitting to. So, and it's just been a wonderful 2 days. And as Annelies was saying, the only thing that I really regret about this time is that Richard and Sue are not going to be here.
Yeah.
And it's the same. We feel the same. We feel the same. We've had a fantastic 10 days with Matt and Jamie. I feel like my family has grown. And I've really learned to love one another. I've got to love one another. And then Matt is saying, "I'm coming back. I'm coming back." And Jamie is saying, "When can I come back?" You know. And the Lord is going to add not just people from inside, but also people from outside. Whether it's for a season or whether it is for a longer period of time, that's in His plan. But God is interested in building His church. And if we lack in an area, the Lord will provide the person who fills in that lack. So, because it's always important to make sure we get what we share from the Bible, because we're building a church, we're not building a 412 church, even though you got the t-shirt. We're not building a 412 church, the Lord is building His church.
Amazing.
And it's a biblical church. And it is built on Jesus as the foundation, on Jesus as the cornerstone. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, and it's a beautiful, Philippians is a beautiful letter of encouragement and joy. He says, if, and that's a question, okay? If is always a condition. It means either or. It depends on you. If. So chapter 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, that is being together, united with Christ, not just with one another, but also with Jesus. If any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Holy Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete, Paul was saying, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Beautiful. Being united with Christ, sharing common sharing in the Spirit, and then being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. And we often talk about one heart, one mind, and one purpose. We're going in the same direction. If we're pulling in different directions, there is this unity.
Yeah.
If we're pulling in the same direction, there's unity. And we need to be, and it starts with being united with Christ. Our unity with one another starts with our unity with Him. You know, it's interesting. Community, biblical community, is unity centered around Jesus. Unity without Jesus is called communism. Okay? That's when you're forced together. But not out of love, but out of law. And out of fear. So being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one of mind, and of one mind. Beautiful. Now, we see partnership is not just a globalist organizational term. It actually happened in the New Testament. And the Apostle Paul writes to the letter in Philippi, to the Philippian believers. And right at the beginning of the letter, he says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel. From the first day until now, being confident of this, that He, that is Jesus, who began a good work in you, will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ, until He returns." Partnership in the gospel. And it gave Paul great joy that he realized, I'm not doing this on my own. I've got partners all over the world that are working with me to advance the gospel with the same heart, with the same purpose. And we're also in partnership. We're not just a little church here in Ginger doing things on our own, thinking, you know, this we know how to do it best. No, we're in partnership. There's other people helping us, people we are accountable to, leaders that are walking with us, leaders that are encouraging us, and we are encouraging them. Because it's, as I said, it's a two-way street. And it's a partnership, ultimately a partnership in the gospel. Because what is the purpose of our partnership? It's not just to have a lovely time together, but so that we are equipped to share the good news with others.
Amen.
That's the reason why the church is on earth. You know that? Because if it was up to us, and I would say, even better if it was up to God, thinking, how can I make sure that believers don't mess things up? It would be very simple. Get them saved, zip them up to heaven. No problem. Get them saved, deal with all their past sins. Before they can commit any other sins, zip them up to heaven. Great. That would be the ideal scenario, wouldn't it? The God says, no. The reason why you are on earth. Why are you on earth? So that through you, the gospel will spread. Through you. Through partnerships together. Through doing things together. It's really great just talking to Matt, and Matt says, now when the team is coming, the team from 412 is coming at the end of August, and I'm going to be part of it. Partnership. I'm going to be part of it. And he said, other people are going to be part of it. And it will be people from different churches, different congregations, from different countries are going to come to spend time with us and to invest in us. So, ultimately, partnership, the goal is so that we together advance the gospel. Share the gospel with those who do not know Jesus. And it is interesting, why is healthy church so important for people to be added? Because can you imagine? I'm in Jinja Market, I'm talking to someone, I'm sharing the gospel, but I'm not part of a healthy church. And people ask, which church do you go to? Because I want to come. And say, don't come to my church. My church has got lots of problems. That is not helping the gospel.
Yeah.
Helping the gospel is when you can say, come and see what the Lord is doing in our midst, how he's building family, how we're doing things together, how we're loving one another. By this they will know that you are my disciples, Jesus said. Is that beautiful? So, let's look at a setting for partnerships. A setting for partnerships in the New Testament. We see in Acts chapter 11, verse 19 to 20, it says, now those who had been scattered, that is those who had been scattered from the church in Jerusalem. Because up to this time there was just one church, and it was a church of thousands. It was the first mega church in Jerusalem. Thousands. But then persecution broke out because Stephen was killed. Stephen was stoned to death. But those who were scattered traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, Antioch. It's always fun to look up those places on a map. But it looked like the gospel was spreading. And so those who traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word, the gospel, only among Jews. Full stop. The rest actually isn't a full stop. Because what happened, but some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene went to Antioch and began to speak to Greek also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. And the Lord's hand was with them. The Lord approved it, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. What happened? The gospel was spread, people were being saved, and these were not Jews. These were Gentiles. They accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and a community was formed, and people were getting excited, and the Lord's approval was evident. And the church started to grow. But when a church grows, there is a need for leadership. And when the church in Jerusalem heard about what was happening in Antioch, they sent Barnabas to Antioch. Barnabas is a very interesting guy. You read about him earlier in Acts. But Barnabas, it actually means Bar-Abbas. Or Bar-Nabbas, son of encouragement. Mm. Son of encouragement. What was his primary gifting? He was an encourager. So the church sent him to encourage the people. But very soon, Barnabas realized he was out of his depth. So when he arrived and saw the grace of God, what the grace of God had done, he was glad and
encouraged,
because he's son of encouragement. He encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. one heart, one mind, one purpose. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number were brought to the Lord. So he was encouraging people to put their faith in Jesus, and the church grew. It's beautiful. But you know, what was the last instruction Jesus gave to the church at the end of Matthew's Gospel? It was teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. I spoke about that last week. Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Now, I think Barnabas was out of his depth. So what did he do? Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. Paul's primary gifting was not encouragement. It was teaching. So Barnabas realized, I need help. So he brought in Paul. He pulled him out of Tarsus. We don't know what Paul was doing in Tarsus. We haven't got that information. But we do know that Paul came to Antioch. And so the whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught. You see, Barnabas encouraged, but Saul was a teacher. And taught great numbers of people. And the first time that people were called Christians was at Antioch. Is that very interesting? And so I'm also praying, Lord, add people to our church who fill in where we are lacking. Because we do this together. And it could be people are raised up from out our midst, or people are brought in from outside, whether for a season or for a longer period of time. And it's interesting, so this is chapter 11. If you go to chapter 13, it's very interesting. We'll see what has happened in just a few chapters' time, or actually in a year time. Now, the church in Antioch. There were prophets and teachers. So we had encourager, a teacher. Now we call them even prophets. See how the gifts are being added. Barnabas, Simeon, called Niger, that meant he was a black man. Okay, Niger Lucius of Cyrene, he came from Libya, is also from Africa, interesting. Manian, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul came from Asia Minor. It's interesting that people even from other regions were added to this church to build this church up. And they were spending as a leadership some time worshipping and fasting. And then the Holy Spirit spoke and said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Set them apart. Are you willing? Basically, the Holy Spirit is saying, are you willing to release your top leadership? Barnabas and Saul. Now, and this is a lovely aspect, because they don't say yes straight away. Guess what they do? It says, so after they had fasted and prayed, so they must have spent at least one more meal fasting. You know, to because there needs to be unity when there is a decision made like this. There needs to be unity. So when Ryan, who oversees the churches in the Gauteng area, was asked by Eugene, is there somebody in your group of churches that could go to Uganda to help while Richard and Sue are away? So Ryan said, yes, there is this family, and I think he approached you. But then John said to me, I first need to get permission from my lead elder. I would love to come, but we need to have permission. And then when everybody was in agreement, they were sent to Uganda. Am I right?
Yes.
And that's how it goes. It's not we decide on ourselves. And you see that here also. It's a beautiful biblical principle. So after they continued fasting and praying, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. So we're actually, at the end of the meeting, we'd like to lay hands on the Geel family. On John, on Annelies, on Emma, and Philippa. Yes. We're going to do that together. Okay. So we're all, because we want to receive them well, and we're going to come to that in a moment, because that is very important. Now, in all this, there is a key word. What's the key word?
Together.
Okay? The key word is together. We do this together. Okay? And I'm just very excited about it. Alone, as one of our leaders says, alone you can go fast. But together you'll go far. We want to go far. We want to go far. I remember one of our elders in while we were in Cape Town, was sent off to lead, to be a lead elder in another church. And this guy is a runner. You know, he goes on runs, and he just, you know, he spends hours running. I'm not sure if he's a marathon runner, but he's a runner. And he's fast. Okay, and it's interesting because the prophetic word that he got on the day that the elders lay hands on him and his family to send him off to the other church, the prophetic word was, slow down. Slow down. Make sure, even though you're a runner, you're fast. But slow down so you can take others with you. Don't run ahead of him because you'll leave them behind. But run together. And it's so alone you can go fast, but together you'll go far. Together. I came across this picture. We are stronger. What? Together. It's living stones, hey? We are stronger together. We all need it. We're all part. We all do this together. Amen?
Amen.
I think it's wonderful when you see the Lord do some beautiful things. Now, welcome, James. It's really great to see you. And we've heard a lot about you, but today we are together here. So welcome, James, man. That's great. Good to see how the Lord is restoring relationships in your family by not just adding James to our church today, but adding James to the kingdom.
Amen.
Wonderful, James. We're so excited. We prayed for you. And we're so excited what the Lord is going to do in you and through you as we walk together. Amen.
Amen.
So we're living stones together. Sue, the coffee can... we're living stones together. And you know, there is a reward in welcoming. For everything there seems to be a Bible text. You know, isn't it? Isn't that true? Isn't that amazing? There's a reward in welcoming. And this is what it says. What Jesus says, anyone who welcomes the Gill family welcomes me.
Hallelujah.
Hey, sorry. I did add to scripture here. So you can talk to me afterwards, okay? But anyone, isn't that beautiful? Because Jesus says, anyone who welcomes anyone else welcomes me. Okay? So by welcoming the Gill family, by welcoming Matt and Jamie, we're actually welcoming Jesus into our midst. That's what, it's not my words, it's his words. And he says, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And you see how the Father and the Son give approval. But where does it start? It starts with you and me. Are we welcoming them? And it's not... It's interesting. Hospitality is all about welcoming. But where does hospitality start? It starts here. Start by welcoming people into our hearts. And the next thing is that, you know, come to my home.
Yeah.
Mel, I'm going to pick on you. Okay? Mel, a couple of weeks ago, said to me, we need a family group in our area. What happened? Something happened in her heart.
Yeah.
And she started to share it with a group of others and said, we need to, but it started in her heart. Mm. And it resonated in the hearts of others. Mm. Ken and Diana and others. And then she opened her home.
Sure.
And how many were we together? It was about 25, eh? It's almost like a church in her home. Okay, not yet. See, we're getting there. That's right. That's right. And church is the people anyhow. So whoever welcomes me, Jesus says, welcomes my Father who sent me. Isn't that beautiful? But then he goes on to say, whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Can you see there's a reward in it? In our welcoming, in how we position our hearts, there is a reward in it. The reward is for you and me. So when we welcome the Gill family, we get rewarded. And then, whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's rewards. The Lord wants to reward us. In this season that Sue and I are going to be away, how you position your heart will determine what reward you receive. how you position your heart towards John and Annalise, Emma and Philippa will determine the reward you will receive. Not my words, words of Jesus. Okay? So, let's welcome the Geel family.